Well, good morning. We do want to welcome everyone here this morning. We pray that the Spirit of God, everyone that's watching by Facebook and YouTube and all that stuff, we welcome you here and we pray a mighty move of the Spirit of God upon your life, that God would somehow encourage you in your walk with Him this morning. Because you see, we're in a walk or a race with Him since we've been born again. The power of God upon our hearts and upon our lives. Amen. Let's take our word and let's make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, the word of God is life. That's life. Even when you're reading the genealogy, you're saying, Lord, did you have to really put this in here? This one begot this one. But you see, that's all. God knows what we need, and He knows who needs what. And so we thank God that we can see the lineage of Jesus and Mary and all that stuff. And so praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn, if you would, to, and I'm going to go back to a scripture that I said last week and the week before, okay? And build upon that again. Romans 15:5. Isn't this cross pretty? It's like, gosh, I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Romans 15:5, it says, and I know we know this scripture by now. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another, according to Christ Jesus. The God of patience, we know He's a God of patience towards us, and He is a God of consolation. That means He comes and He abides with us and walks with us since we gave our hearts to Him. The day that you gave your life to the Lord and you invited Him into your life and you said, Lord, from this day forward, you are my God, my Lord, and my Savior. He started to work on each and every one of us, working upon our hearts, working upon those things that need to be taken out, or those things that need to be readjusted, you know, because, you know, the world and evil will do a heck of a job upon humanity. It will destroy humanity. Without God, there is no hope for humanity. But with God, there is hope. And we have hope in our God. In what He can do. And what He can do in our hearts and in our lives. He is the God of patience and consolation as we walk with Him in our race towards Him, in our journey with Him. You are not alone. You are not alone. You may seem like being alone. You may think you're alone at times. It may feel like you're alone at times, but we don't go by feelings. We go by faith and trust in our God and in who He is. Amen. That's faith in Him. We don't live by our feelings. My God, if we live by our feelings, we wouldn't come to church. If we live by our feelings, we wouldn't read our word. We wouldn't do the things that God wants us to do. But we don't live by feelings. We don't live by what we think. We live by faith and trust in our God and what He can do in us and through us and what He has for us. The power of Almighty God far exceeds any power upon the earth today. Amen. Far exceeds. Far exceeds. You know, remember when Trump was in office and he sent, I don't know what the name of it is, some kind of bomb that went into the earth, into the rocks, deep within the rocks of the earth to kill all these people that were doing horrible things to all kinds of people and destroyed all of them. That's power. That's power. God is more powerful than that. Amen. God is more powerful than what we ever could imagine what he can do. And we have more authority and power as a Christian because we have come into fellowship with God. And because we are now in fellowship with him, we can go to him and we can petition him at any time in our lives. We can petition him for whatever it is. Whatever it is. For a sickness, for finances, for help, for whatever it is upon our lives that we can petition him. And it says, God, because of the cross of Calvary and what he did at the cross, will do what it takes to keep us in fellowship with him and will do what he desires and wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. Now it says this, he's the God of patience and consolation. Grant you to be like-minded one towards another. Ooh. We are to be like-minded like God is and have that one towards another. We have to be patient with our brothers and sisters. In their journey with their walk with the King of Kings. We have to console them when they need help. We have to be there for them if we can be. Like-minded like God is in our journey with him. That we take care of one another if we're able to. You might say, well, Pastor, if I don't know something, I understand. If we don't know something, we can't help. But if we know something and the Spirit of God wants us to go in that direction, we need to console and be patient with one another. You know the old song, he's still working on me. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. You know, we are under construction all the time. To be patient and loving and caring towards him. Another thing it says in Scripture of what God is. And we know this. He's a God of patience and consolation. And in our walk with him, we need to let him do what he needs to do on the inside of us, people. Don't rush things. Don't get sidetracked with the things of the world. Because the world will try to pull families apart. I mean, the world will have us so busy that we can't take time to sit at a dinner table and talk with one another and eat together. You know, one of the greatest things that Jesus did with his disciples was that he sat and he ate with them. They just didn't eat. He talked with them. He shared with them the things of God. He spoke to them the word of God. It's so important if you can, especially families, to get together and at least take some time during the week to gather together, to talk with one another, see what's going on, see what's happening, see who needs prayer, see who needs maybe, you know, a shoulder to cry on. Because the world could care less itself, the systems of the world. But God died on the cross for individuals. Jesus died on the cross for families because he cares about them. He cares what happens in a man's life as he is at work. He cares about a woman as she is at work or in the home, preparing that home. He cares about the children as they go to school and what is happening in their hearts and in their lives. He cares about them. He cares about every aspect of our homes. What the devil tries to do is tear apart a home and destroy the faith in their God. But God says, I've come to build and help and do what needs to be done to build that family up, to make that man strong in the Word of God, to make that woman strong in the Word of God, to make that those children strong in the Word of God. Hallelujah to the King. One other thing it says about God, look at this. In 1 John chapter 4, page 2173, says this. Oh, hallelujah. Look at verse 8. It says this, he who loves not knows not God, for God is love. Amen. He loves us so much. He's walking on the side of us, and his eyes resonate love towards us. His every being of who he is, as he died upon the cross, was love towards his people. Now, you know, we can get to the place where the pendulum flows too much to one end, and God is love, and we think that we can do anything and everything, but that's not true, though. It needs to stay in the middle. God is also a God of judgment. Now, we bring things upon ourselves, but God can still lessen the penalty if we allow him to do a mighty work. But God is love towards us, it says. That he loves us. He loves you. We know the famous scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life because of him. God loves us. He's a God of patience towards us. He's a God of consolation towards us. And he is a God of love towards us. Praise God. That we can count on even when we tell God no. You might say, I never told God no. Has he ever asked you to do something and you didn't do it? That's no. Everybody's been there. Raise your hands and feet. We go to God. We ask God for forgiveness. And because of the great love in his heart towards us, he forgives us. The grace of God is beyond measure. Grace is unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. Oh, unmerited favor. You and I have unmerited favor from God Almighty towards an undeserving individual like myself. My God. But because he loves us so much that he will continue to work and he will continue to move. And he will continue to look in our hearts. And he will continue to lead and guide us. No matter if we told him no 20 times or not. Because he loves us. You know, as individual people, we are drawn to people that love us, huh? I mean, you know, you get around certain people. And you just feel their love. They have genuine love. I mean, they just love you. Not because of what they can get out of you. That's a selfish love. That's not God's kind of love. God's kind of love that we need and only God could give it to us. And he did at Calvary's cross and when we received him as our Lord and Savior. The God kind of love is the love that we give to people and not expecting anything back. You know, loving our wives just because they are our wives. And the Bible says to love them. And it says, wife, honor your husband. It's an amazing, he didn't say love your husband, but you know, we love the husband, yes. But he said to honor them. It's an amazing thing. God knows what is inside of each and every one of them. He knows how a woman just needs that tender, loving care from God the Father and from her husband. And he knows how a man needs to be honored and respected by his wife and his children. That is something that is in each and every, and there's nothing, that's God put that in us. God put that in us. So we're to do everything we can in loving people, loving who they are, and helping them on their journey with Christ in serving Him. Now, I understand some people are kind of unlovable. Nobody said amen. You are great people. You're listening intently. It's hard sometimes, huh? It may be hard to love your children when they've done something not good. You know, I'm not talking about small, you know, when they're maybe adults or whatever. Or hard to love that spouse when they failed in whatever area. That's when we need God to do a mighty work. A mighty work on the inside of us. It takes the Spirit of God. We got to remember we're made what? Spirit. Always first. Soul. And in body. Spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body. Is the spirit of our spirits. That's where God can work, and that's where He wants to work in us, helping us to develop the God kind of characteristics of our God, the God kind of things that we need on the inside of us, that man can't give us, that our spouse can't give us, that our children can't give us, that society can't give us, but only God Himself, because of who He is, can give us the characteristics that we need to develop the God kind of love that we need on the inside of us. We're on our journey, people. And let me tell you, the journey is not easy sometimes. There's a lot of heartaches. A lot of heartaches. But there's a lot of good, too. Because you see, every time the heartaches come, we get on our knees before God. And we call out to our God. And we know that we're relying upon Him and Him alone. And those things that are heartaches can become stepping stones to better our hearts, better our lives towards Him, better our commitment towards Him. Because you see, He's looking for a people that will be committed to the things of God and will accomplish the things of God upon the earth. You know, it's an amazing thing. We're made in the image of our God. No other thing upon the earth is made in the image of God except humanity. We're made in His image. That's why Lucifer hates humanity. Because every time he sees you, every time demon spirits and all that stuff that's out there looks at us, they see the God that defeated them. But they're trying to think in themselves they can rewrite the book at the end where it says that old Slewfoot is thrown into the lake of fire for the last time and he's been defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. My God, the blood of the Lamb is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what defeats the enemy. And the word of our testimony of what God has done mightily in our hearts and in our lives. What's the greatest testimony that we can give to other people is them to see what God has done and letting God work within our hearts and within our lives. Hallelujah. We're made in the image of our God. We will serve Him with everything within us because He is our God. And He has done a mighty work in us. Amen. My God. My God. I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Oh, praise be unto our God. What God can do. When we came to Gaydon, there were people that told us, it'll never work. You'll never succeed. You won't have anything. If you don't try, you won't know. Praise God Almighty. You don't try by the Spirit of God. That doesn't mean it was easy, but you just keep on going. Look, keep on doing what God tells you to do. It does not matter how hard it is. What matters is that we obey God's Spirit. We obey the Spirit of God so that on that day when He's handing out those crowns, that we will get what God desires and wants to give us because we've obeyed Him and our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God Almighty. Hallelujah. You might say, is my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Look, that's one of the greatest books ever. Because that determines heaven or hell. Yeah. You might say, how do I get my name in the Lamb's Book of Life? By accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and nothing else. Amen. It's not by joining an organization, joining a church, or anything like that. It's not by giving X amount of money, not by that. It's not by doing things. It's only by accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then, my God, I personally think that is Jesus Christ Himself that writes those names. Because yeah. He's the only one, it says, who will open the books. Who is worthy to open the books, it says in Revelation. And it says He's the only one. We know it's Him. He's the only one that's worthy because He paid the price on Calvary's cross. We can have victory through everything. Look, the devil will try to bring depression. The devil will try to bring heartache. He will try to destroy your children. He will try to destroy you. He will try to destroy your spouse. He will try to destroy your home. He will try to destroy your job because that's what he does. He's the one that steals, kills, and destroys. But I tell you what, God has lifted up a standard, and the standard is Jesus Christ. And when we put our faith and our trust in Him, He cannot do what He wants to do. It's the standard of the blood of Jesus Christ because of the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Praise God. My God. We can run around. We can shout because of who God is and what He has done at Calvary's cross. Praise be unto our God. Look at this in Genesis. Genesis chapter 32. Look at verse 24 talking about Jacob. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, he knew his name. He just wanted him to say it. You know, Jacob is deceiver. That's what it means. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob. Meaning deceiver, supplanter. That's what the name meant. But Israel, which means a prince of God. For as a prince have you power with God and with men and have prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray, your name. And he said, wherefore it is that you do not ask after my name. And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, which is the face of God, for that's what he saw. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Have you ever seen God face to face? We sang that song, face to face, my God. People, we don't serve a small God. We serve a huge God that is waiting for us to believe. Just believe. He puts in us what he wants, and he says, believe. That's all he says. You don't have to work for it. Just believe. Just believe. Jacob, he knew he was going to have to be. His brother was coming after him. Because he had deceived his brother and done evil against him. Jacob did wrong at that time. You see, even when we do wrong, because every one of us will do wrong, we will say something, huh? We will do something. You know, things happen. But you know, always remember, he's a God of patience, consolation, and a God of love. Amen. All three of those. And he did something wrong, and he knew he would have to face his brother. And you can read that those scriptures before that, where he sent all kinds of stuff to his brother, trying to appease him, trying to get his anger down, that he wouldn't be so angry towards him, trying to do everything he could on his own power. And that's the mistake we make sometimes, when we try to do everything we can with our own power. Instead of bowing our knee to the cross of Calvary, which is representative of Jesus Christ, and letting him solve those things that need to be solved, and him giving us the wisdom. Finally, he knew, he had to have known somehow, by what he was doing, sending sheep and cattle and money and, I mean, hundreds and, I mean, he was a very rich man. Sending those things to him, trying to appease his brother, to bring his anger down. He knew that what he was doing by his own self-will was not working. Not working. And he turned to God. People, that's what we got to do. Turn to your Lord and Savior. Turn to your God when you need a touch from him. Turn to your God when there's loss of life. Turn to God when you need a financial blessing. Turn to God when you need God to heal something on the inside of you. Turn to God when you need a healing of your body. Turn to God when you need help. And you might say, well, how do I do that? You just look to him somehow. I know we can't see God face to face, but we know it says that he, the Holy Spirit, is here, and he's the third person of the Trinity. They're one together. We can call upon him at any time. The Father will move on our behalf because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. That we can go to him. We can lay out things before him. And he will come and do what he wants. See, that's one thing I don't like, is when I hear somebody praying and demanding God to do something. Now, hey, take a scripture. You can take a scripture. But you can't demand God to do something. You can remind him of his word. Not that he's forgotten, it's just so that he wants to know you know it. But we can remind him of his word, but he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are to respect him. Now, we can go through the throne room of heaven, and we can shake those bars in heaven, and we can say, Lord, move upon this situation. Move upon this situation. Move upon this situation. And we can have God move how he wants to move. How many times have we prayed about things and we thought it was going to go in one direction, and God absolutely changed that direction and it went another way? Because he knows what is best. He knows how to cross every T and dot every I. He knows wisdom. He knows how to bring it about in our hearts and lives. He knows what to do. The power of Almighty God. This man, Joshua, God changed his name. God changed his name, and God changed his heart. God changed his name and changed his heart towards his brother. Who's trying to win him? That's like, you know, trying to talk to people about the Lord without the Spirit of God. It will fall upon the cement and will never work. I mean, I'm telling you. We can have a 10-point plan, 2-point plan, 5-point plan. I don't care. I don't like those plan things. I don't like that stuff. I like to just be wherever I am, and the Spirit of God says, okay, talk with this person and start sharing with them about God. See, every person's different, just like every one of us is different. And God has to work on each and every one of us how he wants to work. Because he knows what is best for me. What works in my heart may not work in your heart. What works in your heart may not work in my heart. What works in your spouse's life may not work for your for the spouse itself, themselves. But we need the Spirit of God. But you ever talk to somebody and the Spirit of God was there? And my God, it just changed everything. I mean, it's the Spirit of God that makes the difference. The Spirit of God. And all of a sudden it says that God came in and they say an angel. It's Jesus Christ. The angel. The angel. Not Michael the archangel. None of those, I want to say, peons compared to Jesus Christ. But the angel came in. Because you see, Jacob was desperate. He knew he messed up. He knew he did wrong. And he tried to appease his brother, and it wasn't working. And his brother was coming for a vengeance to kill him and his whole family and take everything he had and destroy him. But Jacob did the right thing. He turned to God. Always, always turn to God. That doesn't mean we don't take help from people. That doesn't mean we don't take help from individuals or none of, because God may send them your way. I don't want to, but let me tell you this. We got to turn to God always first. Always. He turned to God, and look what God, Jesus did. He communed with him all night. And you know, Jesus could have left any time, but because of Jacob's faith, he kept them there wrestling. And that wrestling doesn't mean they wrestled like a wrestling match. None of that stuff. But that they communed. They talked. He wouldn't let him go. How many times have you and I been in prayer and it seems like the presence of God, like Jesus was sitting right there. Like God the Father was right there. And you just don't want to end it. It's like you don't want to end it because you just want to sit there and say, Lord, tell me more. Tell me more. Give me more because I need what you have. I can't live another day without what you have on the inside of you. You just don't want to end it. Even though we know we get up and we're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God is with us, Jacob needed a touch. And he wrestled with him, with our Lord, all night, communing. And God, Jesus, touched the side of his hip and made that joint go out of place. We would think, my God, why did he do that? What was, you know, God's wisdom is far beyond our wisdom. But I think he did that so that as Jacob would limp, every step he took, I've been with my God. Ooh. Every step he took, because he felt it, it was out of place. God was with me. Every step he took to the day he died, it was out of joint. But he knew God was with him. And as his brother was coming, and he wasn't retreating anymore, but was going towards him, he knew, God, you're with me. God, you're with me. We may not have a hip out of joint, but we have the word of God that says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. We can take that word and we can hold it up because he is the purveyor of life. He gives life to his people. He gives life to his people that we can know whatever situation we go through, whatever situation comes our way, that God is with us. Say this, God good. Or we can say this, God is with me. Let's say it again. We gotta get it. I know it's my fault, but God is with me. All right. So every time I take a step, God is what? With me. Every time something comes my way, what? God is with me. Every time situations happen that is not of my fault, but it comes my way, God is with me. No matter what, we're on our journey with our God. Don't let anything of the world make you go to the left or to the right. But you keep on your journey with him. You keep on your journey with him. You keep pursuing him. You keep pursuing him. You might say, man, this stuff's tough. Well, you know, it's not tough. It's just what he wants. He desires to commune with you. We know this. We established today that God is the God of love. He loves us. And he was with Jacob at this turmoil time. Probably each and every one of us could get up and saying, hey, when I was going through this horrible, horrible, horrible time, I felt God. I felt him give me wisdom. I felt him nudge me in a way that I've never been nudged before by the Spirit of God. I want to share this little story, then I'm going to shut up. I don't like that word too much. I'll be quiet. I'm going to share a story about Joey and I. Oh, look, his head popped up. We were working on his vehicle. We were changing the AC compressor on a 2014 Chevy Cruze, and we looked it up, how to do it. You know, you can find everything now, you know, how to do it, and with the belt, and, you know, we followed everything, and we got it all on, and we had to get the belt on. And there was a certain way they said we could do it without taking off a certain bolt. You had to have a certain tool to take it off. You know how that is, you know. So, we try. And I said, man, Jelaine's on the swing over there. Joey and I are trying to do it. Okay. All of a sudden, y'all, I felt, all I can say is like a force. But I don't like to use that word too much, force, because it was the Godhead. Like a hand just came. We felt it. It's like a, and it just went into place. And I remember turning. I said, did you feel that? Did you feel what happened? What God did, people? We are in a time where God is wanting to move, where he's looking for a people that will believe him, that will have faith to believe and say, Lord, I don't want to go to church and just go to church. I want you to be there. You see? I want you to be there. I want the presence of Almighty God. And I don't want people, you know, doing their own thing. I want you moving and doing your thing, what you desire and want to do. The presence of Almighty God is what we need in our homes, in our churches, in our families to keep it together till he comes back. Because one day, those eastern skies are going to split, people. It's coming. It's coming. We got to do the work of the ministry. What God has called you to do, you keep doing it. When God puts a person in your path to share about Christ, tell them about Christ. Tell them about Christ. Don't be ashamed. Let Christ come out of your mouth. Tell them what God has done for you. Tell them what God can do for them, how God loves them and cares about them and will take care of them. Don't tell them they won't have any more problems, because that's not truth. But tell them that God can solve every problem they have now and in the future. But God can do a mighty work. One day those eastern skies will split. The trumpet will sound. And as it blows, it might be Michael the archangel. That's kind of who they think might blow it. When it blows, we go up. Amen. Praise God. When it blows, it says the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remaining will be caught up together with them in the air, and we shall so ever be with him. My God, that means we will ever be with him, that no demon in hell, no person, no organization can take us out of the hand of God or can change our hearts or our lives. That God will do what he desires to do. We shall forever be with him, and we will come back at the second coming as he rides upon that white horse. We will be right behind him as he has the satchel, Lord of Lords, King of Kings upon him as he comes. My God! What a day that will be, the first one and the second one. But can you imagine being in heaven, my God, with him? The marriage supper of the Lamb. People ask me, what are we going to eat? I don't know. Because it does not say. We can speculate. Crawfish, maybe so, crabs, who knows? Can you imagine the size of those shrimp? The size of those, if you like oysters, I don't really. The size of those crabs, my God. Can you imagine? But I know this, he made holy bread for the children of Israel. The miracle of God is that it stayed about a few inches off the ground because he didn't want it to get dirty. And all they had to do every day was go, except one day, and get two portions and just gather it up. Can you imagine a God that had shoes that lasted over 40 years and never wore out? We're lucky if we get 1 year's worth sometimes, huh? That's the kind of God we serve. He loves you. He loves you. You're probably saying, he loves who I am. He loves you like he loves me. But he wants to change a few things in me and in you and I. Making us into his image on the inside. A mighty work our God is doing. We're under construction, and I'm about to close here. We're under construction. Let God keep working. Let God keep taking out, and let God put in. Just as Jacob, let God do a mighty work in him. That as when he faced his brother the next day, he knew every step he took, God is with me. It reminded him, God is with me. God has solved this problem. Praise God. What a mighty God we serve. You may stand, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, amen. I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Asking you who's watching my Facebook, YouTube, and all that. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you have not done so and you'd like to do so, would you please raise your hand to indicate to me so I'll know, so we can pray with you. Amen. As far as I can see, everybody in here is A-okay with your God. Amen. And your names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you don't mind, let's pray together, because you may have people that are watching that need God. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead, and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you. Lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may look this way. Thank you. I did go over, well, a little bit, I guess. Thank you for your patience and kindness.